Cape Talk, Car Talk.
It's always a pleasure to welcome Ciro de Siena of cars.co.za to the show. He's standing by to answer your motoring question and share some of the latest motoring news with us. Just a reminder, please don't phone us with questions about the value of your vehicle or what you should be paying if you're buying one. If you are wanting a sense of a fair price for the vehicle you're considering, we'd advise you to visit MyTransUnion or take a look at cars.co.za to get some comparisons. But otherwise, any other kind of question is welcome on 021-44-60567. How are you doing today, Ciro?
Hi, good and you. Yeah, sweating a bit out in this Cape Town heat, but it's all good.
Okay, I hope you got some aircon in the car you're driving, whatever it may be this week, Ciro. Before we take the first couple of questions from listeners, I want to just touch on the issue of car seat safety. And just to turn the clock back a week or so, listeners may recall, we actually had a conversation with Wendy Nola in the consumer slot about car safety features of many different kinds. And during that show, the issue of car seats came up, and we chatted to Peggy Mars from Wheel Well and to Mandy Lee Miller of the Car Seat Full Stop campaign about the importance of using car seats, but also about the importance of installing them properly and making sure that they were the proper quality of car seat. Now we see Wheel Well is putting out a statement cautioning that, in fact, a range of car seats is still on sale in this country, which has been withdrawn in Europe because there were issues with the Ciro, what do you know about the story?
So, a little bit outside of my first-hand experience, unfortunately. However, from what I can tell, there are a group of manufacturers in China who build car seats for various brands. So the Chinese company make them unbranded. They then get rebranded, for instance, as a Cellino, something called the Cellino Phantom, seems to be a model that's on sale in South Africa. Now, our national regulator for compulsory specifications, NRCS, used to test baby seats. They don't anymore. So now they defer to the higher authority, which is the Economic Commission for Europe, the ECE. They do the testing on the child seat. Now, what's happened is the ECE has withdrawn certificates for certain models of these child safety seats. And those products have still not been withdrawn or issued a mandatory recall in South Africa. So that seems to be the core of the issue here.
Okay. Does it mean that potentially parents are out there buying these seats and they shouldn't be putting their trust in them, that their children are necessarily safe using them?
Yes. One of the seats seems to have sort of been thrust into the public spotlight when it was tested by a German automotive YouTube channel, which showed the seat sort of disintegrating in an impact scenario. So that's become a quite a big story overseas. That seat is on sale in South Africa as well. I think the main concern is that in an impact, obviously massive G-forces going through the car seat, and if it is not constructed to a high enough quality or the integrity of the construction cannot withstand that impact, you risk the seat disintegrating and the straps that hold it in place not being able to absorb the impact or the force of the impact. So I think that's the key concern. Other concerns, of course, is that the seat has not been designed well enough to reduce the risk of injury to the toddler. For instance, the area around the neck is particularly sensitive to prevent whiplash, so you might find that the seat was just not designed well enough in the first place to reduce the risk of injury.
Okay, thanks for the feedback there, Ciro. What we're going to do is tweet a link to the full article that goes into quite level of detail on the specific issue here. And if you'd like to read up more about the story, you'll find it tweeted at Cape Talk within the next couple of minutes. We'll make that available. The other really important thing to say, to mention, and I think it's always important to remind ourselves of this, is when we're talking about the use of car seats, we know it is still vastly too low. And I saw stats this morning from the AA suggesting that the figure for car seat use in this country is 7% of children, which is just ridiculously low, Ciro, given what we know that it's not required on public transport. Immediately, that puts a huge number of children at risk. But 7% car seat use for the child population is a staggeringly low figure. So please do support campaigns like the hashtag car seat full stop campaign and spread the message. If you see people with young children who are not using them, please rather speak up and say something and offer to help if you can. If they're saying that they can't afford a car seat, please consider those alternatives rather than having a child who is unrestrained in the car. Okay, with that, we'll move on to your motoring questions on 021-446-0567, your emails to pippah@capetalk.co.za. Starting with an SMS from Abdul Chiro asking your take on the Ford Focus ST.
If you're looking for a hot hatch, the Focus ST is not as popular in this country as it is in, say, countries like the UK or Britain. They sell particularly well over there. Here, the car is overshadowed significantly by the Golf GTI, where, in fact, the ST is actually quite a bit quicker and a bit more powerful. I think where the Focus ST does fall a bit behind cars like the GTI is in terms of its interior. It does have a fairly decent infotainment system. In fact, the latest one is actually very good. But the build quality and the quality of the materials for me is nowhere near the quality that you would find in the Golf GTI. So if you're not too bothered by the quality of your interior plastics and you're just looking for out-and-out performance, then I think the ST is something worth looking at.
Okay, thanks for that. Anonymous asking the following about a car I must confess I've never even heard of. I've just purchased a new Ego X-Play after a long time trying to weigh up the pros and cons between other entry-level cars like the Digital, the Picanto, and the i10. My decision was based on fuel economy and price. Having said that, have I made the right choice? Well, it's a little difficult after the fact you've bought the car, but sure, do you think the Ego X-Play is a good buy?
No, take it back immediately.
Just kidding. Yeah,
it's obviously a bit too late now. But what I really like about the Ego is that it has big car safety features in what is essentially a very small car. So it's a Toyota. It's built in cooperation with Peugeot Citroen. They all build the same car and then badge them slightly differently. And it sells also particularly well in Europe. It's one of those cars with ESP, which we've spoken about on the show, Electronic Stability Program, I think very, very important, critical. You can't actually sell a car in Europe without it. We're a bit far behind in our regulations in this country. And I think four airbags as well in the Ego, which I quite like. So I think on the merits of its fuel consumption, that's also, it's a small little 1 liter engine. It should just suck fuel, hopefully. I'd say the downsides are perhaps the rear space and it's got a slightly, You know that sound when you close a door and it's just not quite right?
Yes.
that's the Ego for me. It just has that not quite right door closing sound. But I mean, that's not really enough to turn you off a car. Well, maybe in some cases.
Okay, thanks for the feedback there. You said a magic word which triggered a remind me notice in my head. You said the word airbags, and I received a notice a day or two ago from Honda about an airbag recall because of the Takata airbags. And I almost put it straight in the bin thinking, oh, well, I've already done that because I took my car in to have the airbags replaced last year. But Chiro, luckily, I didn't throw it away and I thought, maybe they haven't captured my details. Let me just update it on the website. And sure enough, it's a second recall. I've got to take the car back again. And this time it's the side passenger airbags.
Ah, goodness me. Yeah. I think this did sort of come across my desk a couple of weeks ago that there was a second recall in effect. It's a massive recall. I mean, Takata makes airbags for almost half the industry.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that what's going to happen is slowly, as these things get more thoroughly tested, more issues may come to light, and that seems to be what's happened here.
Okay, so just be mindful of that. You, like me, might have been tempted to just say, I've done that already and throw it away. It's not necessarily already taken care of. Please do read that notice carefully and rather check on the website. Okay, an interesting tweet from PJ saying the following. Peugeot making some really nice-looking vehicles, but there has always been this perception around the brand. What is the real story, Ray? Parts, etc., in 2017, should one buy one of their vehicles?
Sure. This is always a difficult one, isn't it? So what happened with Peugeot and Citroen is Citroen really wasn't doing very well for various reasons, and the Peugeot South Africa decided to pull the Citroen brand from the market and concentrate all of their resources on Peugeot. So the Peugeot service centers will still look after Citroen. So if this is news to you and you have a Citroen, don't worry, you will still be looked after. So the fact that they have concentrated what was essentially two companies' resources into one company makes me think that things are going to be a bit better for the end consumer in terms of parts and servicing going forward. I also think that Peugeot actually has some really good products at the moment. The 3008 in particular is a very, very good car. In fact, it's currently European Car of the Year. and sells like hotcakes overseas, which seems to be the theme of this week's show.
Yeah.
but you know, whether Peugeot can look after you once you have purchased the car is, of course, probably more important than whether the car itself is, you know, a world-class car. To that extent, I would say that you are limited in your choice of dealership. And if you don't have a dealer close to you, that is going to impact on the sort of convenience of servicing that car. I think there are less than 5 Peugeot dealerships in the whole of the Western Cape, for instance. There's more in Gauteng. And I would say that if you are going to buy a Peugeot, if you are really, really interested in cars like the 3008, I would say go to all the different dealerships and get a feel for them and see, you know, a lot of this is sort of about the relationship you might have with that person. Find a dealer that I think you get on the best with and who you think is going to look after you. And I think that's probably going to reduce a lot of pain in the future should that car go wrong.
Okay, thanks for the advice, and I hope that's given you something to work with, PJ. Thanks for your tweet. We can squeeze in one or two calls on 021-446-0567. Otherwise, SMS your question to 31567. As Anonymous has done, they're obviously making a choice between a Mazda CX-5 and a Hyundai Tucson. What would you pick, Chiro?
I've actually, interestingly, if perhaps you want to direct the audience to one of my videos, if you don't mind,
yes, a bit of self-promotion,
I have a fairly popular video on that exact comparison. So I'll send you the link over and perhaps we can tweet it out.
Great.
And a very, very in-depth review. And for me, the Tucson one, the CX-5 won the head-to-head for various reasons. But I think that what Mazda has done particularly well with the CX-5 is two things. The quality of the interior is exceptional, and the quality of the ride is exceptional. It's an extremely comfortable car around town and on long distances. That being said, I do think one of the big downsides of the Mazda is they only have a 3-year warranty, whereas Hyundai offers up to a 7-year warranty. And that, for me, is a pretty staggering difference in terms of your backup, you know, should that car go wrong. So, you know, Mazda's doing incredibly well with their new CX-5. But if you are planning to keep the car for a long time, you do have to consider that short warranty.
Okay. Thanks for the feedback. And please do send us that video. I'll gladly post it on our social media channels. Interesting email in from Pam following up on the car seat conversation. Pam says, in Melbourne, children have to be in a car seat until the age of 5 and then in a booster seat until the age of 7. The car seat has to be serviced every 2 years and you have to keep this written proof in the car with you, because if you're stopped and you don't have it, there is a very heavy fine. That's really interesting, Pam. I'm interested by the severity of the finding system and the I think it's great that they have that level of detail built in, but I'm also interested in the comment that it's only required up until the age of 7, because in that conversation a week or so ago, I know Mandy Lee shared the stats with us that actually the sort of best practice is to have your child in some kind of protective seat until they are 1.5 meters tall. And that is generally for kids somewhere between the ages of 10 and 12. And when they're shorter than that 1.5 meter mark, it is actually very difficult for a seatbelt alone to do the job of containing the child safely. So that's quite an interesting comparison. Pam, thank you so much for sending through that email. Let's go to the lines. Kadu in Claremont. Good afternoon.
Hi, it's actually Tato, not Carlo.
Tato, my apologies. Spelling error on this side, Tato. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call. So I bought a Peugeot 308 not so long ago, a used model, a 2012 model. Very good car. Mm. You know, it's got quite comprehensive things in it. I'm really concerned about its petrol consumption. Like, I would drive literally after filling the tank about 5 km, and the thing is already moving from full tank. So is that the general fuel consumption of that car?
Do you have a figure for me? A readout, perhaps? Are you in the car now?
No, I'm not. I'm not in that car at the moment, unfortunately.
Okay. And do you have an idea of the exact figure that it's returning on average, the liters per 100 kilometers?
I can tell you how much I spend per week. Like, per week, I'm filling that tank $600. And that doesn't sound to me like it's sustainable.
How many Ks do you do a week?
Sure. Nah, that's a tough question. I actually don't know how much, because I'm, like, doing small trips between work and home. So It's hard to say how many trees I get in, but I'm concerned about how much it's consuming.
Yeah, I tell you what, it's an interesting case. Please take my email from Amy and send me, if you could send me a bit more data, I'll be able to tell you whether it's inside sort of normal parameters or not, and then what you might be able to do about it.
That's a very generous offer. Thanks. Chiro Tatu, please, I'm putting you back to my producer. If you could just leave those details with a bit of data to analyze, I'm sure Chiro can give you an informed answer. Thanks so much. Chiro, that's where we must wrap up for today. As always, thank you so much for being with us.
No, thank you so much. It was always fun.